gather round. Which is the memoirs of 5'9 being read as he sees it fit. Police sirens behind him while he's driving instantly causes butterflies in his stomach, even though he's legit.
Now, brothers and sisters, they have not stopped. It's about to hit the fan. What is it? Getting deep in here. I mean, like.
Good evening, and welcome to Inspirational Conversation with Ms. Worth It. Thank you all for tuning in to A to Zaya's Blog Talk Radio Show, where your host, Ms. Worth It, is continuing her series on inspirational conversations. And I'm excited to be here this afternoon, and I hope that if I have any listeners, that you will take part in this conversation and call in at 516-595-8311. And those who may listen to the recording later on, if you have questions, concerns, you can always hit me up on Facebook at Ms. Worth It. Yes, so let's just get into this topic for today. So our topic today is talking about lifting up from feeling lost and alone. Now, I know that we all go through periods where we feel lost about certain things that may transpire in our life. And that can lead you into somewhat of a lonely place. However, I want you to know that you can overcome these feelings of being lost and alone. You know, we're definitely throughout life going to get, as I stated in my topic description, we're going to get knocked down, get knocked around, and it sometimes leaves us feeling this way. However, there's a solution that will allow us to be lifted up, and we must grab hold to that solution, and we must walk in it, we must live it, we must allow it to transform our life. So we're going to go ahead and connect our co-host today, Miss Get Up. How are you today?
Good, Miss Worth It, how are you?
I am well, thank you. Yes. So our co-host has now joined us, so we're just going to go ahead and get started. Our topic today, as I stated to our audience, Ms. Get Up, is lifting up from feeling lost and alone. And so basically, I want to just start off with sharing, you know, there was a process, a time in my life where this process did take place. And sometimes even in the present, I feel like I find myself alone. However, as I stated in my description for this show, you know, there is a solution that will allow us to get lifted up out of feeling lost and alone. And so in my process of feeling alone over the past 3 years, some things have transpired that put me in a place where I just felt lost. And most of you all, if you're listening or you listen to this recording later, just like my best friend, Miss Get Up, knows, I'm very transparent. So I really don't try to keep stuff in the closet, under the couch, back, you know, deep in some boxes, because I feel like all of my experiences, whether they're good, bad, or indifferent, whether I was right or wrong about them, can touch the life of someone else, especially when I come clean with them. And so for me, Ms. Worth It, over the past 3 years, I found myself lost and alone. I found myself being lost with who I really am, lost in the fact that I don't know some of the people anymore that I was close to, for instance, my son and my daughter. Like, I don't know who they are anymore, who they have become. And I don't really understand some of the things that they do, some of their actions, some of just their life processes. I don't understand how they got there. And then there are these times where over the past 3 years, I found myself alone because of that. I found myself that I'm looking at things from a whole new set of eyes. And it's not that I never looked at them like that before. It was a process, Ms. Get Up, like even before the 3-year mark when my son died. Before that, I could see God transforming my life every, you know, over the years. It seemed like to me, like every 5 years, I had drastically matured into another woman. I had become more wiser and more knowledgeable. I had become more honest with myself. And the key to it is I accepted the challenges and I began to change. So over the years, when I, you know, saw the things that were wrong with me, I continually reached out to God, and that means I continually go to church every Sunday. Very seldom do I miss, and if I do, I'm kind of frustrated because I miss. I continue studying the Word of God, trying to be consistent in studying the Word every day, praying, talking to God. Even when I knew I was walking in error, crying out to God for change. And so it seems like every 5 years, you know, and I'm just throwing that number. It may not have been 5, 4, 3, 6, I don't know. But it seems like over a period of years, I begin to look at myself and say, wow, I'm not that person that I was 5 years ago. And it became amazing to me how God began to transform me. So even up until that point 3 years ago on May 30th, I had already been transforming over the periods of my life. I had became closer to God. I had learned how to get into the holies of holies and allow God to saturate my heart. I had learned how to prostrate and lay before God and wait on Him. I had learned how to release everything to Him. I had learned to empty my heart and ask Him to take control of my life. And then, boom, here these 3 years come. And it's like he took some more shield or veils off of my eyes, and I began to see things even more clearly again. And so at that point, I found myself feeling alone because I no longer had my 3 children. And sometimes I felt like my oldest son could be that voice of reason for me with the younger two. And so then with him being gone, I realized that, wow, who would be that voice of reason at, you know, closer to their age limit, who could tell them and try to help them to understand some of the things that I have taught them. And so then I began to see the things that they did and the way that they live and their actions. And some of it I disagree with. And so I found myself not really having a close relationship with them. Mother, daughter, but I don't know, something happened. And then I began to find myself even with relatives and people, Ms. Get Up, I found myself just distant people, you know. And so during that whole process, I found myself feeling alone. But God continued to show me that I wasn't never alone, that He was always there, and He would always send someone, some person, you know, whether it was a friend or whether it was a stranger, He would always send someone to remind me that I wasn't alone and that I wasn't lost on this journey. And so I share that with you all today because whatever you're going through, no matter what the situation is, it could be the death of a child. It could be you have children that you're having some serious problems with. It could be a breakup, your marriage, or whatever. Understand that if you continually still in the midst of feeling lost, alone, downtrodden, knocked down, if you continue to develop that relationship with God, He will always send you the help that you need. He will send inspiration. He will send confirmation. He will send strength. He will send empowerment. And He'll send that through the Holy Spirit and those who He have placed in your life for that season. And you just have to keep your eyes open and know that it's going to happen. You know what I'm saying, Ms. Get Up?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, do you have any comments, this, you know, at this first offset about this, just feeling lost and alone?
Yes, I do. There were a couple of times when I felt, you know, lost and alone, like I didn't have anybody. When I was growing up, I kind of felt like that because I didn't have the best of relationships with my mother, and my father was working all the time, so I felt alone, and I was I'm the only child, so I didn't have any brothers and sisters. So I felt alone then. And then when my friend died, Zayas died, I was literally lost. I was literally in darkness, lost. I didn't have anybody. That's how I felt. Nobody said that I didn't have anybody. People called me and reached out to me, and I just was so lost that I couldn't even talk to anybody. That's just a horrible place to be when you feel like you don't, like you just, you can't talk to anybody, and
right.
You feel like you're lost, and you don't want to reach out to anybody because, you know, your friends and family are going through, and you just sit there, and you don't have anything. And if you're not even, you feel like, you know, I feel like I had lost my faith for a second. I just really felt alone. And that was the hardest time in my life. And I didn't have my best friend. I didn't have anybody because I chose not to have those people because I was just so lost.
Right, right. And yeah, that can definitely lead you into a dark place because when you withdraw yourself, the enemy takes that opportunity to cloud you and kind of block you. It's kind of like he plug up holes so that you won't even have an escape goat. And so that's why it's so important for us to constantly in the midst of no matter what we're going through, to lean on God and to cry out to him in despair, no matter what, you know, it may not come out the way we need it to, but that's what the Holy Spirit, he lies there. He's there to intervene for us. And it's important because if we don't, if we just shut it down and lock ourselves up and don't call out to God, then the enemy takes that. And that's like a playground for him. He takes and consumes your mind, and he takes your thoughts and flusters them with negative things. And then a negative outcome come from that. But yeah, I definitely know what you're saying, because even growing up, even though I had people around me, I still felt lost and alone even then, because some of the things that transpired during my childhood, you know, I really wasn't trying to be a part of that. It just never connected with me. And I think a part of that is because I found myself, you know, I used to play church with my friends and read the Bible to them. I talked to myself a lot. And then, you know, reading the Bible and learning about God early, I think caused me to realize that some things that were being done, some behaviors, just wasn't what God said they should be. So I found myself by myself. And then I was, you know, my brother was much, much older than me when I came along. So I really didn't have playmates. And then my nieces came along, but it still was different. And so, callers, listeners, if you have any comments, if you want to share in this conversation, please give us a call at 516-595-8311 as we continue to talk about how you can overcome feeling lost and alone. And so for me, even this process where Ms. Getta talks about her best friend, her other friend, which was my son, who passed on, even during that time, you know, it was definitely hard, but I felt the need to stay encouraged and stay strong with the Holy Spirit strengthening me to be able to empower the lives of other people. But it's still in deep down inside, I was truly hurt and broken. I was hurt, one, I lost my firstborn son, and then I was broken because my children, my other two children, became distant. Their behavior, the things they indulge in, just became disturbing to me, and it broke my heart to know those things, and just their behavior, the you know, relationship wise, and the things they allow themselves to be a part of and go through, all of that began to really break my heart. And it was like I felt as if, you know, all that I did, you know, teaching them the word, encouraging them, showing them the word and being there, like it was a waste of time. But, you know, God had to show me that, he had to remind me that, you know, whatever you put in them, you know, no matter which way they turn, they still have that, and one day they will return. And so over a couple of years, I began to realize that I just had to let that go, and I had to let go all of those who I felt wasn't supporting me. People were so caught up in their feelings that they didn't realize what I needed or even what my children may have needed at the time. It was just as if everybody just took and decided to be about their own feelings toward what is happening, what had happened. And personally, I believe a lot of them was just caught up on how it happened. It wasn't even the fact that my son had died. It was just the fact that he was murdered by two police. People were just caught up in that. And so I found myself, people leaning on me at a time like that, like some of his friends calling me in the midnight hour, leaning on me, and I'm trying to uphold myself and be a sounding board for them and be an encouragement and allowing the word of God to translate to them from my mouth to them. And to the point that I was not healing. I was not being structured. I was not being comforted. I wasn't receiving the things that I needed as a mother to get through this tragedy. And so even now, I've learned a lot, and I've learned, you know, how to let go of people and things. And that sometimes is one of the hardest things to do. But when you find yourself lost and alone with people, when you find yourself going through, when you cry more than you have joy with a person, you got to let them go. And I know, you know, listeners, you're probably thinking, well, that's easier said than done. It's really not, if you put your faith and trust in God. And that's what I did. I had to realize whether it's my daughter, my son, excuse me, my parents, my siblings, no matter who it is, you know, if you're not for God, then you're against him. If you're not for me, you're against me. And so the thing is, you know, yes, I love him still. But one thing I learned throughout this, Ms. Get Up, is that when you can't stay connected to things that you disagree with, you can't stay like a part of something that's not your lifestyle. And so even today, you know, Bishop was talking about getting surrendering your Isaac. You know, Abraham, God told Abraham to sacrifice his son, and just like Jesus sacrificed him. But then he had a ram in the bush for Abraham, because Abraham was faithful and Abraham was obedient. And even though Abraham stated, you know, to the disciples, I mean, to those who was waiting on him, that he and his son would be back, he still was going to carry out, because, you know, I guess he felt like, well, even if he make a sacrifice, he'll bring him back to life. But he trusted God so much, you know, that he was going through with it, and then God supplied him a ram in the bush. And the thing is, as the man of God brought forth the word about, you know, surrendering surrendering your Isaac, sometimes we have things that mean more to us than God. Sometimes and people say, no, nothing mean more to me than God. But yes, it does. When you invest your time and your energy in it when it shouldn't be. When it creates more chaos than joy and peace, and when it keeps you from off the track that God has destined for you, then it isn't, you're not trying to release it. And Bishop preached about that, and he talked about the three key truths about trials in the believer's life. As Christians, faith that cannot be tested is a faith that can't be trusted. And so, first of all, you have to know that God will test your faith, because, and if you don't fall through, then your faith is not to be trusted. You know, and then the second thing he talked about was trials are for us. They work for us, not against us. And so trials that we go through, if we accept them and believe and trust God, then those trials will work for us instead of against us. But a lot of times they work against us because we don't want to let go. We want to hold on to things that we really don't have no business holding on to as believers of Christ. And then the third thing he talked about was trials come to make us more patient. And I really, really can relate to that, because from May 30th, 2013 to the present, my patience have become phenomenal. Like, my patience lie so close to God right now and on a whole nother level compared to they used to. Even up until today, I recently had a conversation with my son because he was saying something and he told me, excuse me for cursing, or excuse me, but he said, and I said, no, I don't excuse you. And today I realized just from that sermon, you know, and then in that reaction, is that you have to let things go. You can't continue to let things be. And I began to look at that, you know, like, no, I'm not going to allow you all to be cussing in front of me. You've lost your respect level, and I don't deserve that. And I'm not going to allow that and tolerate it. And what I'm going to do is remove myself from your presence. If you can't talk and respect me, then don't talk to me. And I don't care who it is. And you know, and I shared that with him, you know, because young people just have gotten so out of the way these days that they think it's okay to say anything in front of you. And then and today when Bishop was talking, you know, I have been patient about it. But today he even continued on talking about, you know, how you got to remove yourself, how you know, God wants you to take a step back, you know, and I'm just paraphrasing. And God been showing me that you cannot sit there and think and just let people do whatever and act like it's okay. No, I don't have to react, but I can definitely respond in a spirit of love and a spirit of God with a spirit of wisdom, you know, because if you don't, then they continue on. And so I made a vow to myself today. If I respect my mom, I don't call her talking about and that mother, and I don't care if it is an explanation. No. It's not acceptable. And so I'm not accepting it from my children anymore. I'm not accepting it from my nieces anymore. I'm not accepting it from anyone. If I talk to you without cussing like that, if you can't talk to me without cussing, then we don't even need to have a conversation.
Exactly.
We don't need to have a conversation.
Right.
What's your take on me?
Oh, you said so much. I mean, as far as letting things go, letting the relationship or whatever go, and listening, you know, to God and going through the trials, you know, things we're faced with, obstacles and trials, like you said, that we're supposed to learn something from those, and they're supposed to make us stronger. And if we don't learn something, you know, God is going to give it to us in another way until we get it.
Right.
So that's one thing. And then as far as, you know, a lot of people, men and women, have an issue with letting relationships go when there's someone that's treating you badly. They might be cursing you out. They could be, you know, just not treating you right. They could be putting their hands on you, men and women both, you know, hitting on each other. And you're still there. Like,
mm-hmm.
You need to let that go. If it's not helping you, it's just hurting you. You're crying. You're upset. You know, like you said, if you have more tears than joy, something's wrong. You need to let that go.
Exactly.
And it's so hard. It's very hard for people that, for some reason, they don't think that they can do any better. I think it's their issue. Not that they don't want to, not that they can't let go, but in their mind they see they can't do any better. That's a problem because they don't have the faith of God to let them know that they're a child of God. They deserve better. They don't deserve someone treating them like any old thing.
And you know what, Ms. Getta? Not only that, that shows what you care about yourself. That shows your worth, your value is so low that you don't even care enough about yourself that you would demand from somebody else, that you would sit and allow yourself to think that that's love or that's okay, because you don't even love yourself. And if you don't love yourself, you know doggone well you ain't going to even love God. And that's the thing. It's not hard. It's God. You can do anything through Christ Jesus that strengthens you. If you put your faith in him and you trust him and say, you know what, I'm not going to deal with that no more, and I don't care if it means I'm going to be, you know, struggling. Well, guess what? I'd rather struggle with God than to struggle with someone who don't care about me. Or I'd rather struggle with God than to have a whole bunch of stuff that don't mean nothing, living in a big house, but yet you don't have no peace, you don't have no joy, you know. And so even with that, in Genesis 12, he brought to revelation about, in Genesis 12, the things how God began with Abraham way before. God told Abraham to leave his country and his family. God, Abraham had to get up and leave his family and go to a land that he had never seen. And then when he got there, he brought his nephew Lot with him. But then God told him to separate himself from Lot. Separate yourself from that is not of you, that goes against you, that is not of me. If you look into me for everything, then you got to separate yourself from the person that's not of me, that's not looking to me. So he had to separate himself from Lot, because Lot was not serving God. Lot was not looking to God. Lot was doing all kind of foolishness. So God had to tell Abraham to separate himself from that, and he did. You know, yeah. Then God had to tell him to give up, you know, to give up on trying to do things in his own way when he stepped out, when God told him to bless him with, you know, he'll be the father of many generations. And he's thinking, okay, well, I'm going to use my concubine and trying to do stuff in his own plan. And then God, because of his disobedience, God had to tell him, he had to tell Ishmael, mama, she had to take Ishmael and leave. So then he was without a child again, without his, you know, firstborn child, because you chose to dip and dab and do that. You and your wife chose to come up with a plan when God didn't even tell you to. So he had to give up his son. He had to give up his firstborn son because you did it the wrong way. But because of his obedience, he did it. And then God told him to sacrifice his son, and he was going to do it. But then God showed him it don't have to be that way. So that's the same process that we have to go through. If you love God, you can't be connected with something that goes against God. And it's so crazy because we're talking about Christians here, how we continually to play with God, how we continue to wallow in foolishness, you know. And, you know, and I had somebody ask me the question, well, what made you get married? Because, you know what, I didn't want to be out there. You know what? I didn't have to go through hell and high water. But, yeah, I made the choice to be married than to be out here shacking up and just doing any kind of thing, because it always bothered me. And that's why I got to the point where I'm at now, Miss Get Up, after my last marriage. And then getting into a relationship with a man, it's like, hold on, no, uh-uh. This has always bothered me. And so it had to get to a point where if it bothered you, then stop doing it. No, don't get married again just to stop. Stop doing it. You don't have to say yes just so that you won't, you know, so you could say, well, it's better to marry than to burn. It is. But however, show some discipline, because where I'm taking you, I'm going to need you to be more disciplined. I'm going to need you to say you can do all things through Christ, which strengthens you. And so I did that. And so if I can do that, so can anybody else. You know, and I wasn't going to deal and tolerate with something, some man, or, you know, ungodly doing whatever. No, not going to deal with that. Not going to get obsessed with things and stuff and allow that to consume my life and think that it's better for me to have to be shopping all the time and doing all this. But then I'm robbing Peter to pay Paul, and then I'm using people. Okay. Then I'm going to use people who really care about me. Part of my Sunday school lesson. Use people who really care about me to get them to do for me what I could have did for myself if I wasn't doing what I wasn't supposed, you know, if I was not trying to do things just because of habit form. So these are some of the things, you know, that can cause us to be lost and alone. Because if you keep staying in a pattern of disobedience, if you keep sticking to things that are not worthy and not glorifying unto God, if you keep going after stuff that does not glorify God, then you will continue to find yourself lost and alone. And then you go through the cycles where, you know, when you have, you think you're all good, or, you know, you have the stuff or the person, and you feel like, oh, everything is good. But then you keep going over and over this battle, keep going over and over this mess up, keep going over and over these tragedies. You keep going over and over with this foolishness because you're unstable. And so you're lost and alone. And so here's the thing, listeners, what we want you to understand is you can go through all of this stuff, but when are you going to start listening? When are you going to start listening? God tells us when we know to do better. What's your purpose in continually going to church and staying in the same foolishness over 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, just staying in the same foolishness, just wallowing in it? You can be lifted up out of this mess, but you first have to have, faith and trust God and know that, you know what, God, I'd rather go to the bottom with you than to be on top without you. So you have to put that faith and trust in him. And then you have to understand whose you are. When you know that you are a child of God, and you know that God is your Father, He's your Savior, He's your everything, then you will learn to love yourself, and you will make sure that everybody else love and appreciate you or don't step to you. Don't be in your circle. And that's, and I'm telling you, Mr. Lely, God, I was convicted when my son said, you know, when he made that comment, I had to tell him quick that, no, it's not okay. It's not okay. No, I don't excuse you. And I'm not going to excuse anybody no more. If you think you got to cuss and talk to me, then don't talk to me at all. Because it's disrespectful. And I'm not going to allow anyone to disrespect me because I know my worth. I'm a powerful woman of God. I'm a child of the true and the living God. I'm blessed going in and I'm blessed coming out. I'm covered from the crown of my head to the sole of my feet. And I will not allow anyone to be disrespectful to me or before me anymore. Because, you know, at first I was like, well, God has developed me these patience, you know. And I'm like, you know what, I ain't going to worry about it. You know, I'm just, you know, just let them stay with me. I, you know, no, uh-uh, no, you know, you don't need to talk to me. No, ma'am. No, sir. Don't have a conversation with me if your vocabulary is so little that all you can do is use vulgar words that God is displeased with. Don't have a conversation. You don't need to have a conversation with me anyway because I'm too intelligent for that.
Yeah. We just talked about that last week.
Exactly. And that exactly right. And God had to give me confirmation today. So you just going to continue to steal their children, nieces, all these? No. Really? No, I'm not. No more. It's done. It's finished. And if it means, see, and here's the thing, listeners. When you think about being alone because you don't have certain people that connect with you, don't consider that alone because, one, God is always with you. And you want quality people in your presence. You want quality people. You want people that are equally yoked to you in your presence. Because you can find yourself alone when you're around all the wrong people.
Yeah.
Because you really don't fit in. And so when you tolerate it, you're making yourself fit in when you shouldn't. You're making yourself fit in where you should not make your, and that's the problem, how we miss God's glory. We're trying to fit in with foolishness of this world. God is saying, you accepted my son as Lord and Savior of your life. Why are you trying to fit in with things that are not of me?
Exactly.
Man.
I just have a comment. Real quick. Remember when you were talking about Abraham and Lot?
What?
So
right.
Abraham went to listen to God and let Lot go. We know what happens when their Lot's wife, they turned around after God told them not to.
And say that again.
I said,
yeah,
wasn't that why? See, what,
yep.
What Abraham went to let Lot go, he'd be somewhere a pillar of salt too.
Exactly.
He said
exactly.
He was saving Abraham is what he was doing.
Huh?
God was saving Abraham, is what he was doing.
Yep.
If he wouldn't have listened, he would have been a pillar of fire too.
Yep.
So,
exactly.
Yeah, he saved us from stuff and saved us from people. So
mm-hmm.
He already knew. That's why he told them from Lot, because he already knew what was going to happen.
Yep.
Yeah, that was my first time.
Exactly. And I mean, you're so right. And that's the thing we miss. And sometimes we wonder, yeah, how we didn't got into all this mess, because you disobeyed God. God told you to let that go. That's why you're still going through it. That's why you're still in that mess. Because you should have let it go. You had no business holding on to it. But you wanted to hold on to it. You want to be with the in crowd. You want to be down. You want to keep up with the Joneses. You want to walk around here and look like you're good, you know, and you're doing it all wrong, but you think, but you can't figure out why you're in a mess, because God told you to. He told Abraham to separate from Lot, and like you said, Ms. Getta, if he hadn't, he would probably became a pillar of salt right along with Lot's wife.
Yep.
And then, you know, the situation with Lot and the seduction by his daughters, so that they could bear children, they sleeping with their dad.
Huh.
Yeah, it's just, you know, and so we have to learn to really listen, even if you don't understand it, even if it looks like it doesn't make sense, you still have to learn to listen and obey God. You know, we have to listen and know that God knows way better than me what's good for me. And he said, I wish that you would prosper and be in good health. God said, I want the best for you. So if he wants the best for you, what make you think because he tell you to walk away from that job or let that woman go or let that man go or leave from by your, what make you think that that's not going to be best for you?
Because you don't trust him like you're supposed to.
That's right. That's right. You don't trust. You don't have the faith. And that excuse thinking about God know your heart. No, he know, you're right. He does know your heart. It's corrupt. It's disobedient. So we have to really understand that you find yourself feeling lost and alone because you allow yourself to wallow in situations that are not of God. You allow yourself to stay connected to people that God is telling you to let go of. You find yourself holding on to situations and issues that God is saying, let it go and let me. And so I want to encourage you all today to understand that no matter what you're going through, where you find yourself feeling lost alone, if you look toward heaven and trust God, stop looking at things in the natural and start looking at things in the spiritual and know that no matter what. Let's get up. I tell you, God began to deal with me. And over this time period, and I let a lot go. But like I told my son today, God also wanted to reveal and show me who people were during this season in my life. And you know, he really showed me, even to my children, who my children serve more, who they care more about. They wasn't concerned. They was more concerned about their habits and their flesh and what they needed. People show me that. And you have to understand when God show you that. No, it's not to tear you down, but it's to show you what you got to pray for and show you where you got to pick up and move forward. You know what I'm saying? And so he showed me a lot of things during this process. And because of my patience and my diligence in him, God continually kept me. He kept my mind. He kept my health. He kept my spirit. You know, and now he's moving me into another zone. He's moving me into another atmosphere. He's showing me how just, you know, yes, you lost your child and you thought that, you know, was like the worst thing that could have happened to anybody. But here's the thing. I choose to bring my son home. Then you was concerned about what if you lose another? Well, the thing about it is sometimes we lose people and they right here on earth. They right here. But the thing is, when God says you have to let people go, you have to let people go. You cannot, listeners, you cannot continually hold on to things. Even with the death of my son, I couldn't continue to hold on to that. I had to let that go because God knows what's best. And so I have to continue to move forward because he woke me up because he has work for me to do. This is life is not about how much partying I can do. How much laying up I can have with some man that ain't my husband, how much drugs I can consume, how much alcohol, how much. No, that's not what life is all about. We were placed here on a mission for God. We were placed here to accomplish God's goodwill and to touch the lives of people by being doing what is right, by striving harder, trying to purposely do what's right instead of purposely live the way our flesh wants us to live. And so we have to push forward knowing that we're not alone and we're not lost if we stay on this journey for what God desires to do. And it's not hard. It's denying your flesh. And the more you deny your flesh, the more you trust God. The more you trust God, the more you're going to walk according to his will on purpose. See, as believers, as the body of Christ, especially in the United States, we're on purposely living any kind of way because we desire to please our flesh instead of our spirit. And so the Holy Spirit can't be dwelling in us with all the foolishness we're doing. We desire to please our flesh and, you know, with what we eat, what we drink, what we take in sexually, what comes out of our mouth, negative. We just, you know, we're just stuck on pleasing our flesh. You know, well, I only live once, so I'm a party like I've never partied before. Are you kidding me? You know, so we have to realize the body of Christ, if we don't wake up from the gutter of being lost and alone and trusting and leaning on God, then, you know, I don't even know what's going to happen. But I know one thing. You misled and confused if you think God is honoring all this foolishness, because he's not. And so we can get up out of this mess. We can lift our heads up and feel powerful and feel like we have, you know, thousands around us in the spirit, because we do. Because with God, that's all that matters. God is a powerful source. When you got God on your side and you following and you purposely trying to do what he wants you to do, God will comfort you. He will give you peace in the midst of turmoil. Everybody else confused, cutting up, and you the one with peace.
Yeah.
So he will, you, everybody else will be lost on what's the next step. And you the only one with a sense of wisdom, because you know what needs to do, what needs to happen. But that's only when you purpose in your heart that God, for you I live and for God, for you I'll die. God, I want to do it your way. And even when you mess up, because you're purposely trying, you're not out here purposely trying to just exalt your flesh in every way you can, because that's what we're doing. When you're doing what your flesh want to do, you're exalting your flesh. You're not exalting God. You're exalting your flesh. You know, so...
Yeah.
You know, Ms. Gilpin, we really, people have to really understand this. This is serious business. You have to come, because you cannot do the work of God while you're in a lost and alone state, because you're unequally yoked to all kinds of things and people. You know, so what, you have any comments, Ms. Gilpin?
No, I was just going to say that. People included, even though I'm consciously making an effort to do what I'm supposed to do and not what my flesh wants to do. But, I mean, even people in the church, they do it. People in the church shacking up and doing what they want to do and having sex outside of marriage and in church praising the Lord. I'm saying, like, it's okay. And then go home with their boyfriend that they live with or their girlfriend that they live with. Like, it's like they don't, they think that it's not, that it's not the same type of sin. All sin is the same. It's not like one sin is bigger than another sin. It's all sin. God said don't commit murder. God said don't fornicate. God said don't steal. It's, no sin is bigger than another one. You're still not supposed to do any of it. But we think it's okay to do something.
Right. We've gotten comfortable, and you, like you said, we act like it's okay. We don't have any remorse, and that's what's sad. We don't even feel guilty about the foolishness that we're doing. We have come to the point of accepting it, and like, you know, it's all good. God know I wasn't going to be able to. That's a lie. If God said not to, he know that you cannot do that. You can stay away from that. He didn't say that just to be saying something. If God said do not steal, he know that you do not have to steal. You, it's a choice. You choose to. If God said do not murder, you don't have to murder anybody. You make a choice to murder somebody. So you're right. We have gotten so comfortable. And that's who I'm talking to, the body of Christ. I'm talking to those in the church. That's the body of Christ. You've gotten comfortable and made a decision that it's okay for you to live any kind of way. It's okay for you to enjoy your flesh, and you're going to hell messing around with just doing what the devil wants you to do. And those who are saved, well, all I know is that you cannot play with God's grace and his mercy. You cannot continue to live the way you want to live and think it's okay. It's just not. He spares us and he tries to give us time and he continually, you know, work with us and put things before us. But and my thing with that is, but you wonder why you are not, why you don't have the joy of the Lord, why you're crying all night, why you're pacing. You don't know why you don't have his peace and his joy. It's because you purposely are abiding to your flesh. I don't have no other way to put it, Ms. Getta. If we're going to purposely do wrong, how do we think? How do we even have the nerve to come out of our mouth and talk about we're blessed when we're purposely living any kind of way?
Because we think that, like I said, one sin is, you know, worse than another. Like, it's okay for me to do this, but it's not okay. It's okay for me to live with my boyfriend, but it's not okay for her to cheat on her husband. You know?
Right.
So
okay, I see what you're saying.
It's not okay for me to kill somebody, but it's okay for me to take this stuff from work home that I ain't pay for. You still stealing, but it's old. Right. We got enough paper. I'm going to take this pack of paper home from work. It's okay because I didn't kill anybody.
Right, right. Yeah, I see exactly what you're saying. Yes, and listeners, we have to be real aware of this stuff. It's not. Sin is sin. And God is not pleased with us if we're stealing, taking a paperclip from what we're not supposed to, if we're lying. We really have to do better. We have to, and then the thing about it is, like I said, he give us permissive will and his perfect will, and he give us a choice, and we're purposely living certain ways as if it's okay. And we're wondering why our society is in a mess. It's in a mess because we as believers are harboring to the wrong thing. We are holding on and thinking it's okay for us to do what we do, but it's not okay for somebody else to sin.
Yep.
Well, it's not, guys. It's not. And I pray that if you're listening, that you understand in order for you to come out of being lost and alone, you have to put your faith and trust in God. And what I mean by that is you have to purposely strive hard to do the will of God and not accept your fleshly desires as being okay. See, God's grace is the true grace. You know, his grace, if there is a man who, you know, his grace is sufficient, but however, his grace is not to be played with. So you have to understand that, you know, we don't want his grace to stop for us. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 6:9-10, do not be deceived, neither fornicators nor adulterers nor adulterers shall inherit the kingdom of God. He tells us, don't be deceived. Because whether you're a fornicator, an adulterer, none shall inherit the kingdom of God. If you continue on doing this and thinking it's okay, what if he showed up today and you really just been living living in your mess like it's okay? And, you know, Paul wrote, for the grace of God has appeared, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensible, righteously, and godly in the present age. In Titus 2, he tells us that. So We are not to deny, we are to deny ungodliness, worldly desires. And he says we are to live sensibly, righteously. Oh, my goodness. The grace that Jesus extended to even the woman who was caught in adultery shouldn't surprise us too much. He didn't do nothing for her that he isn't currently doing for every person living on this earth. Because all of us have been caught in that now.
Yeah.
But Jesus, he forgave us, and he is extending the same grace. It's temporary grace. Any and everyone. But here's the thing. He tells us he extends grace to go and sin no more.
Is that?
Go. Yeah. Once we exhaust a lot of time, our grace period is over. God's moral law demands death for our sin. But Jesus mercifully allows us time and opportunity to repent. But once we exhaust that allotted time, y'all, our grace period is over. And what a horrible thing for us to miss that grace period. If we repent during that grace period, Jesus graciously forgives all our sins and causes us to be born again. And then from that point on, we can only rightfully say that we've been saved by his grace. And then we can never boast that we have been saved by our works. Even if we never sin, God's grace carries with it our limitations. Scripture declares God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. But the thing is, his grace is sufficient, but it's temporarily. And once it's over, it's over.
Exactly.
You know, and that scripture from Titus is powerful. For the grace of God has appeared, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age. That scripture is so powerful, Ms. Getup. Because it's telling us we have to turn from this foolishness that our flesh wants us to live by.
Exactly.
Our flesh wants us not to, you know, the Bible tells us you can have a drink, but don't get drunken. But our flesh tells us, oh, keep drinking and get toe up and turn up.
Yeah, turn up.
You know, our flesh tells us, you know, hey, just keep doing what you're doing. If it's fun, if it feels good, then do it. If it looks good, get it. If it sounds good, say it.
Yeah.
And then we find ourselves broken down, burdened down, running through foolishness, lost and alone, and then you wonder how you got there. Well, it's simple. Listeners, it's simple how you got there. You got there because when you do right, not to. And so I'm going to pray for us this evening after Ms. Get Up, give her last comments about, you know, lifting yourself up from feeling lost and alone. There's only one way to do it, y'all, and that's to trust in the Lord thy God Almighty, to acknowledge him in all your ways and all your doings, and allow your flesh to die and say, no, I will not be conformed to the things of this world, but I'll be transformed by the renewing of my mind. I'll trust in God even when it's uncomfortable. See, if I wouldn't have trusted God, first and foremost, I wouldn't even be down here in New Orleans. I could have been still in Atlanta. Got rid of the folks out of my house who was disrespectful. And just me. But I trusted God that there was some other work he had for me to do. You know, and so I'm trusting even more now that I'll allow him to order my steps. And that's what we have to do. You don't have to be lost and alone. You know, You may not have the job that you want, but guess what? If you make do with what you have, stay out the mall. Why you got to go in the mall? You got clothes to put on. It's okay if you wash it and wear it again. It's okay. And manage the little that you have. Okay? So if you by yourself, you ain't got a husband or a whatever, a boyfriend, you know, you don't need to work nowhere because they ain't going to lead you to nothing but foolishness. But so what? You ain't alone. God got you. And everything you need, he will supply if you trust in him. The problem is you don't want to trust because you don't want to do without. You want to keep up with what the world says is significant, what the world says is status, and what the world says make you equipped, you know, make you noticeable and make you somebody. All of that stuff don't matter. Because God will put you where he wants you if you just trust in him. So the solution to be lifted up out of your lostness, your foolishness, is to put your faith in God and let go of anything that does not connect with him. You get up?
Yes. You're absolutely right, Ms. Worthit. You got to trust in God. You got to let go of stuff and people. And, you know, make sure that you have some people that are in your circle that are able to trust in God, are able to pray with you and to help you, you know, to help you find guidance if you're feeling lost. You need some good friends that are, you know, Christian and know the will of God and serve God that can help you in your time of being lost and alone. Instead of grabbing onto these worldly folks that just somewhere trying to turn up and don't have your best interest at heart anyway.
Right. You know, that's what we talked about in Sunday school. Talked about having friends that's going to be honest and tell you, no, that is not, you know, that's not the way of God. Instead of having friends that tell you, yeah, girl, let's do that. You got to let go. You got to start getting around people that is going to honor God on your behalf as well. You know, like you said, you got to have friends that's going to speak into your life and be honest with you. But when people are wallowing in their flesh and their sin, they desire to keep those type of people connected to them.
Uh-huh.
And so listen, we're going to pray for you to really allow your flesh to die and allow God to come in. Because let me tell you, if he can do it for me, he could do it for anybody. And you have to get to the point where you love God so much that when you do something wrong, it bothers you. It hurts you that you come clean with him. See, because when you start feeling like that, you're going to start being less and less getting caught up in stuff. And just like, you know, Bishop shared in Genesis 12, God want to put you in, he wants you to trust him even when you don't understand it. Even when it looks crazy and it sounds crazy, he wants you to trust him anyway. Just like he told Abraham, leave your country and your family. Separate yourself from your cousin that's unequally yoked, that's not pleasing to me. Stop divin' and dabbing and trying to fix stuff that I say going to happen. You, once I tell you, you just sit back and wait till I tell you how it's going to be done. Or otherwise, you're going to have to give up on what you tried to make. And then be willing to sacrifice your idol, whatever it is. Whether it's the person you claim you're supposed to be with, but you don't know for real. Because you don't know. If you're sinning along the way, you know that ain't right.
Yep.
Separate. Sacrifice. Give up. Leave. Study the word of God. Trust God and know that if God is for you, it don't matter who else are in the world against you. Because if God be for me, what can anybody else do? Nothing. So come up out of your feelings of lost and alone. You don't have to be there. And if you need someone to pray with you and pray for you, we're always available. You can reach out to us through Facebook, any social media outlet, Ms. Worthit, Ms. Get Up. You can contact us at 404-491-9287. You can even go to our website at www.a2zaus.com if you want to speak to someone in our organization. Or you can contact me at www.mzworthit.com and leave me a message. Because in order for us to continue to run this race and do the will of God to impact the lives that he wants to be changed, we must not be lost. We must be found in Christ Jesus. And we must know that we're not alone because he is always with us. Ms. Getup, I want to thank you so much for joining me tonight. Just so we can share with the people and pray that someone's heart was touched and moved. It's just a powerful thing, you know, to be able to walk in the glory of God. And listeners, I'm just telling you, it is just so amazing just to be able to purposely try to do things on purpose that's going to glorify God. That's the key. And all it takes is just a step of faith to say, I'm going to, God said is right. It's amazing. We're going to close out in a word of prayer today. We normally don't do this, but I just feel the need that we need to pray because someone's listening to this and they need a pick-me-up, you know? Most holy and gracious God, we come today just thanking you, Lord, for this dialogue, this inspirational conversation on lifting up from feeling lost and alone. Father God, we've been there, and we know that it was you that brought us out. And I thank you, Lord God, for the feeling of uncomfortableness moving in us to know that it is uncomfortable to sin. And to allow that feeling to saturate you so that every time you do something that is sin, every time you err and do wrong, that you don't feel good about it. You feel bad about it enough to repent, to go to God and ask for forgiveness and to turn from that situation, to clear your mind and allow God to press up on you doing what's right. Study the word to show thyself approved. Honor God through worship and glorifying him that he may transform you and allow the Holy Spirit to guide you and lead you. Father, there is someone who's going through right now, someone who's so caught up in their flesh, Lord God, that they don't even know how to release. But God, we're tearing down right now in the mighty, powerful name of Jesus the Christ every stronghold that have them bound. We command it right now in the name of Jesus, Satan, that you loose these people, that they will be set free by the spirit of the true and the living God, that every believer, everyone who have accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior of their life, that they will begin to die to self and allow the spirit of Christ to rise up in them, that the Holy Spirit will lead, guide them, and direct them, that their mind will be changed, that their heart will be uplifted, and that they'll let go of their Isaac, that they'll sacrifice their Isaac, get rid of that thing, that person, that whatever it is that has you caught up, that is against what God is telling you. Show yourself to be mighty, Lord God, in their life. Tear down, stir up some trouble in their hearts, Lord God, that they won't sleep good and they sacrifice their Isaac, Lord God. Cause confusion, Lord God, that they will just have no other way but to look to you, Lord God. Save them, Lord, before they're doomed for damnation, Lord God. Just make things uncomfortable for them, Lord God, till they see that they must trust in you, Father God, and make the necessary sacrifices, Lord. And for that man, woman, boy, or girl that may listen or listening now, Lord God, who don't know you as Lord and Savior, we pray right now, Lord God, that their hearts will be touched, Lord God, right now, and that they'll cry out to you, Lord Jesus, what must I do to be saved? And that they'll confess their sins to you, Father God, and accept Jesus as Lord of their life and find themselves somewhere to go and worship in the temple, some church home where they can grow and study and learn. Father God, we are a generation that's in trouble. Lord God, our country is in trouble. Our world is in trouble, Lord God. And Father God, before you return, Lord God, help us to be an inspiration, a motivation, Lord God. Help us to encourage. Help us to live a life that's holy and pleasing before you, Lord God, continuously, that we may draw men and women, Lord God, to you, Lord God, that they will be saved. Oh, God, build up the church. Move in the body of Christ, that we will stop living for ourselves and start living for you, Lord God. Help us to let go of the things, Lord God, that have us bound. And Father God, I thank you right now in the name of Jesus for my co-host right now. I thank you for Miss Getup, Miss Yolalia Hall. I pray, Lord God, that you continue to stir up the gifts in this woman of God, that she will walk holy and boldly before you, doing those things that bring glory to your name, that she will listen and hear, that she will walk in your will. No more what we desire, Lord God, but what you desire, Lord God. Father God, we trust you and we honor you, Lord God. And we know, Lord God, that as we continue to submit to you and not to ourselves, that change will continue to take place, Lord God, that you will continue to take us higher and higher, Father God. We're so grateful, Lord God, to know that we're not conformed to the things of this world anymore. We're not caught up on popularity and power and money and all the things that the enemy try to put before us to make us think that that's the way to go. We release it all in the name of Jesus. We're not conformed to just lying and committing adultery and fornication. We're not conformed to being drunkard and staggered and out of our mind. We're not conformed to the things that the enemy wants us to be conformed to any longer, Lord God. And we're not conformed because of you, because of your grace, because of your teachings, because of your love and your guidance, Father God. And Lord God, everything that come our way, Lord God, that causes us to want to go back into foolishness, that causes us to want to step out, even, Lord God, the way we talk to people, even allowing our nerves to get frustrated and want to blow up, Lord God, continue, Lord God, we surrender it all to you, that we'll continue to be calm, to take up on the spirit of joy and peace and love and passion and kindness and meekness. Oh, Father God, and forgiveness. Father God, we want to hold to the fruits of the Spirit that you may be glorified, Lord God, and that lives will be touched and mankind will change on this side of heaven, Lord God. Please, Lord Jesus, in your precious name, we just ask for transformation to take place in the body of Christ, Lord God. We bless you and we glorify you and we thank you for every year that have listened, Lord God. We just pray your covering on them right now. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Yes. So thank you so much, Ms. Getta, for just joining in today. And we just, we're excited about the hearts and minds that will be transformed as we continually know that we do not have to walk in the spirit of being lost and alone, but we can be transformed by knowing that God can lift us up as we strive to do what his word tells us to do. So we thank you for listening to an inspirational conversation with Ms. Work and Ms. Get Up. It has been our pleasure to bring forth a divine uplifting word to get you out of the trap and understand there's a solution to the madness, and his name is Jesus. We'll see you next Sunday. God bless you, and have a wonderful day. God bless you, Ms. Get Up.
Thank you, Ms. Worthy. God bless you. Have a great day.